This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
It's Monday. It is Maesterclass. This is a short form podcast where I ask questions to experts from my listeners. If you have a question for an expert on medieval life or literature, you can email me at book@baldmove.com. In this podcast, there are no questions. There are no experts. It's just one man and his love of cartoons.
This is irregular.
Yes, well... I suppose that life is irregular.
Last week, my guest Stephanie Barbahammer and I were talking about Theon's interior. And Stephanie suggested that Theon's got several inner voices that he's listening to. Different voices in his head representing different parts of his personality. He's also got several others advising him. Like, he's got a few henchmen. He's got a reluctant tracker. He's got a maester. Why doesn't he listen to the maester? Should always listen to your maester, and a shade of literary foreshadowing in the person of Reek. It's Reek who really got my attention. I keep thinking of the literary importance of this character who's not in the show and who is so obviously a literary device that you think that I could dismiss it pretty quickly, but even though it's tropey, it works so well, I keep returning to it in my thoughts. In the end, it's Reek who gives the advice that Theon ultimately listens to. And of course, that advice is going to lead him down a dark path. Reek is a little bit like a less sexy Tyler Durden in this way. So to spell out what's probably already obvious, Reek, as a literary device, is what Theon will become if he gives himself over to his evil inclination. And that got me thinking of a concept developed in medieval Judaism called the Yetzer Hara. What is the Yetzer Hara? Translated literally, this is the evil inclination. But it presupposes something along the lines of determinism, as if your path has been set for you ahead of time. And because this is a medieval concept, your path has been divinely appointed for you ahead of time. But to spice things up, what happens is you actually have two possible paths, both predetermined, but you can choose which to go on, the path of evil or the path of good. All right, we're going to get back to Theon in just a minute here, but a tiny bit of history. In the early 1700s, there's an Italian Jewish rabbi, Moshe Chaim Lozado, kind of a Jewish mystic, and depending on who you're talking to, maybe a heretic. But here's what he said. He said, humanity's inclinations are balanced between good, Yetzer HaTov, and evil, Yetzer Hara. The human is not compelled toward either of them. He has the power of choice and is able to choose either side knowingly and willingly. So the argument here is, yes, determinism, but you get two choices. You get to go the path of good or the path of evil. If you watched cartoons between the 1950s and the 1990s, you are absolutely familiar with this concept. And it would always be represented in these cartoons as a little angel on one shoulder and a little demon on the other shoulder. This is an ancient Jewish concept that finds its way into pop culture. So you'll remember in these cartoons that it was a pretty typical trope that the main character would have an evil spirit and a good spirit. And the good spirit would kind of be like a Jiminy Cricket kind of character, you know, follow your conscience. And then the other character would always instigate the temptation. It's a device that cartoonists would use when they wanted to depict someone like Fred Flintstone or Homer Simpson in a moral quandary. But you can find it in dozens of different animated stories.
You're not just going to let him die like that, are you?
My shoulder, Angel.
Don't listen to that guy. He's trying to lead you down the path of righteousness. I'm going to lead you down the path that rocks.
I'll come off it.
You come off it.
You.
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 You, Infinity.
Ah.
Listen, you guys. You're sort of confusing me, so, be gone. However I get rid of you guys.
That'll work.
Pretty simply, the little devil represents the Yetzer Hara, and the little angel represents the Yetzer HaTov, the evil inclination and the good inclination. By the way, this is one of those times where Wikipedia will absolutely lead you astray. According to Wikipedia, this is first attested by a Christian text called the Shepherd of Hermas, the 2nd century current era. But almost like everything in Christianity, it was borrowed from Judaism. Predating that Christian text by at least 200 years, we can find a very similar idea of the two spirits represented in the Dead Sea Scrolls. So this is a very old Jewish idea. It just doesn't really take the shape that we recognize it in until the medieval period. And then in the modern period, it comes to full iteration in cartoons, as every good religious idea should.
Why don't you go talk to him?
I don't know. There's a game on. Shame on you. You march right over there and cheer your old friend up. Don't listen to that, sissy. Grab a beer and watch the game. Yeah, that sounds good.
All right, so you get the idea of what the Yetzer Hara is. With Theon, the Yetzer Hara is Reek. Reek is quick on his feet. Reek is clever. Reek is devious. And Reek convinces Theon that he can use deception and child murder to get himself out of a jam. Not to put too fine a point on it, but Theon is looking at future him. But he's looking at the worst version of himself. The worst version of what he could become. And this is where the concept of the Yetzer Hara really interests me, because it sets Theon on a path. And now remember at the beginning, the presumption to the two spirits, or the little devil and the little angel, is that you are actually living in a deterministic world. And once you've stood at that moral fork and made that one choice, now you're on either the path of righteousness or the path of evil. I think that this is Theon's Yetzer Hara moment. He's choosing his evil inclination. And of course, that means that he's choosing a path that can only lead toward his own destruction. Now, I'll conclude by saying, I don't believe in determinism, but as a literary device, man, it's fun to look at.